Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, glory to God. Are you on a mission today? Are you in the service of the Lord, the working of the Lord? I pray that you know that God has set us all on mission. And there is a reason for our existence. So we're not just traveling around the planet trying to survive, wandering around, but God has given us a calling. He has given us a mission so that we would be able to be effective at fulfilling the call of God, the will of God. And that's what makes life exciting. Are you excited? Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You never know what is going to happen next. And there's always something going on. And it will create an opportunity for God to show up. Hallelujah. And if you realize that, regardless of what's happening around you, there are opportunities for God to do something, for God to work, to reveal himself. And once he does, you have a story to hold on to. You have a testimony to share of what God has done. And that is why, good, bad, or ugly, God can be glorified. Hallelujah. He really can. Well, I hope you're excited about that and that you know that it's not by accident or by chance. It's by the divine hand of God that things go the way they do. He is in charge. God is ultimately in charge. And yes, he knows all the things that are happening, and the world is falling, and the world is in a bad place. But God knows, and he's using all the events of our lives to work out good for us, those who are called according to his purpose, the word of God says. And so, you and I can be excited today. We have a reason to be excited. And we have been talking about being appointed, or the appointed of God, and the horn of salvation, and how God has called us, and everything that we go through to bring us to a place where we proclaim and magnify the Lord, where God is glorified. And even through the difficulties, if you don't have bad things happening around you, then how can God be glorified for something? That means there's nothing for God to show up to do. There's nothing for him to fix or to resolve or to bring you through. And so the evil is what it is. It is evil. However, it is an opportunity for us to glorify God. And it just confirms that God sustains his people through challenging and difficult times. And whenever you want to preserve something, you put it in a container. Isn't that right? You put it in a container. And it is the container that will determine the longevity of the very thing that you're trying to preserve, or the thing you're trying to contain or hold for the time that you use it. Have you ever used a container before? Have you ever, right? You know, I like those containers. We used to have the cereal in the box, and you know how you leave the cereal in the box. And I don't know about at your house, but at my house, I don't know how it happens, but these little critters find their way into the cereal boxes every once in a while. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, and it's like, no, I just got this, right? But if you put it in a container, you can seal it, right? And so nothing can get in. And it can stay fresh longer. And we would always have the clear containers, so that means our kids could always see and be, ooh, I want that. And before you know it, it's going down, going down, going down. And sometimes in one day, the box can be gone. And so the container makes all the difference in the world. And some containers you can see through, and others you cannot. And so the idea is to know what's in the container so that you will be able to use it appropriately, because the whole reason you have something in a container is so that it can be used, not just so that it can take up space, but so that it can be put to use for the purpose in which it was made to be used. And so we're talking today about the horn of salvation. We are talking about how the horn was used as a container to hold the anointing oil. We have talked about the importance of the horn. We've talked about the ram's horn. We've talked about the horn that was used to sound the alarm, to blow as a trumpet. in order to make the sound that would demonstrate the moving of the Spirit of God, or the coming of the Spirit of God, and essentially four different areas: for repentance, and for healing, and for being submitted to God, and for worship, and for victory, and for the call into battle. And so all these things we've talked about and their importance, and there was a specific sound depending on what the situation was. The sound for repentance was a different sound than the sound of the cry for battle. But the sound of the cry for battle is the same sound as the cry for victory. And the reason for that is because when God goes to battle, he always wins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so the horn was also used to be around the altar. And we talked about the importance of holding on to the altar as a sign of repentance, or a sign of God's mercy, where we're looking and calling out to God for his grace and his mercy. And we're also looking at now the horn of oil, which is the container, which represents the Spirit of God setting someone apart, being holy for God's use, and being set apart to operate in their gifts and the abilities for which God has called them to. And so containers are something that we are using all the time. And God used the horn as a container to hold the anointing oil, representing the Spirit of God. And no matter what size the container is or what shape it is, it's usually designed to hold a specific type of thing, a particular kind of whatever will be put inside of it. And then there are these shipping containers, and shipping containers are designed to take smaller containers to where they need to go. And ultimately, they are shipped long distances into great places, and sometimes, you know, you don't realize how far that package that you ordered on Amazon traveled to get to you. Hallelujah. And it's probably had a whole experience of its own along the way. And that's how life is. Life is a series of experiences as we go through life, but we are the containers of the Spirit of God as the Spirit of God is operating in our life when we surrender our lives to Christ. Then the Spirit of God indwells us, and God strengthens us. He renews us. He revives us so that you and I can operate according to the strength and the wisdom of God. And that is our title for today, Vessel of the Spirit. We are vessels of the Spirit of God. Are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. All right, hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we just ask, oh God, that you would mold us and shape us, that you would help us to hear your voice and to follow you, to understand and know what the will of the Lord is as we go through our day, as we interact with those you bring into our lives, and that we would be able to rise up in the fullness of the power of the Spirit of God, as you have become the horn of our salvation, as you have appointed us for such a time as this, and that we would be able to recognize and seize the opportunities to proclaim and magnify the Lord. We thank you, God, for all these things. Now open our ears and our eyes that we may hear and see how the word of God applies to us even now throughout this week, that we may put it to practice for your glory, your honor, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there is a reason that you and I are alive today, and we've been talking about this over the past couple of months, over the summer. And as we are coming to the end of this series on the horn of salvation, and we begin to reflect on our homecoming and the very thing that we are preparing for, and that is when Jesus returns to redeem us to himself. You and I are not just living our lives just to live our lives, not just to survive, but in preparation for the coming of the Lord. You see, Jesus is coming back, the Word of God says, and we are to live our lives with that in mind, that we would be prepared for his return, that we would be ready when Jesus comes again. And when Jesus comes, he is certainly going to come in one of two ways. He will come probably in many people's lives in the form that he calls you as an individual. You die. He takes you out of this body. Your soul is called back, and the Lord meets you in the air, and he redeems you back to himself and brings you to the place that he has prepared for you, as the Word of God tells us that he does. And then there is what is known as the second coming, when Christ returns and he comes with the trumpet sound, and he comes with 10,000, or the fullness of all the saints who have died earlier, and he comes to redeem the created world. And so they're one of those two things that will take place in our lives. And even I'll never forget when my grandmother had passed away, one of the things, and I was a young kid at the time, my mother was there and my grandmother was passing away, and she said, "Do you hear it? Do you hear it? I hear the sound. I hear the trumpets. I see the Lord. He's coming. I see the Lord. He's coming for me." And she related how she could see the Lord was coming for her. And I didn't really understand what was happening. I thought grandma was a little, you know, she wasn't doing too well. She was in the hospital and she had been sick. And so I really didn't get it. And so it wasn't until years and years later, and I'll never forget that. It was just stuck in my mind. And I keep being reminded of that very thing, how God comes for those who are his own. When it's time to transition from this life to the next, you don't do it alone. The Lord comes for you. He comes for his own. And that's what the Word of God says. Jesus said, "I have prepared a place for you." And he says, "I will come." And he said, "I will bring you to where I am." The Lord comes for his own. And so the horn will blow, the horn of salvation, the sound of God. He will call you. When you are being called, the Lord lets you know. My grandmother didn't die that day, but she died about a week later. And I tell you, it was amazing just to know the Lord comes for us. And so we don't have to fear. We don't have to have anxiety over it. We know that the Lord will redeem us. And when he takes your soul out of your body, then your body dies. You see, it's the soul that gives life to the body. It's the Spirit of God that has been breathed into us that enables us to commune with God, and God calls us to himself. And that is why we need to be under the anointing or under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, so that you and I can accomplish the will of God. Because when he comes for us, we want to hear, "Well done," right? You know, not, "Well, you should have." You want to hear, "Well done. You actually did what God has called you to do, that you are fulfilling the will of God." And God understands. He knows what we're going through. He knows the challenges and the difficulties that we face. And that's why he doesn't leave us alone. He says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The Lord does not leave us on our own, but he makes a way for us. He helps us. He is our helper. He is the one who comes alongside us. He strengthens us. In fact, in 2 Timothy 2:19, it says, "Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness." Why? Because God wants to keep us clean so that he can work through us. We all need to be clean containers. And depending on what you're going to use the container for, you're going to make sure that it is rightly clean so that it can be used. I don't know anybody who wants to eat out of a dirty bowl. Does anybody want to eat out of a dirty bowl? Anybody want to use something? You want to eat of something? You want to use something? I got in trouble one time because I bought these scissors, and they weren't cheap scissors. I had bought them thinking,
one thing in mind. In fact, I bought them because I went to a Cutco demonstration, and they cut a penny with these scissors. And I was like, wow, that is some serious scissors. Man, I've got to have those. Man, you could cut metal. You could cut all kinds of stuff. Man, I love those things. I said, man, this is great. When I saw the price, I was like, But I worked out a deal, and I got a payment plan, and I kind of paid it in 3 payments or whatever, and I got it down. Man, I love those scissors. Those scissors were great. But then my daughter, my wife, got a hold of the scissors. And one day, I noticed that they had been put aside, and they were put in the container with all the knives and all the other things. And one day, I needed the scissors, so I knew where they were because they were nicely put away. And so I get the scissors, and I go to use it, and I was met by the scissor police. Now, the scissor police are the people who watch over the scissors to make sure that they are used according to whatever their rules are. And of course, I had a little more latitude in my rule book than they had in theirs. And so I'm going to use them because I had to do some wiring and I had to do some stuff, and I just needed a good pair of scissors because I was going to cut some metal things sometimes. It's like, yeah, I knew these scissors can handle it. But I got in trouble because the scissor police approached me and they said, you can't use those scissors. And I go, why? What are you talking about? I paid good money for these scissors. I bought them because they cut metal. And so I got into as Pastor Michal would say, intense fellowship discussion over these scissors. And so here we are going back and forth about the scissors. And ultimately, I was arrested and bound, and I was not allowed to use the scissors. You see, I don't seem to have the ability or the skills to win against my mother and my daughter's ability to encourage their will. Hallelujah. And so it's challenging, as most men understand, I'm sure, how difficult it can be to win a discussion at home. Very tough. You really have to have the favor of God in every kind of way to win, or else those ladies will beat you every single time. You can't win. You could be dead 100% guaranteed, no question about it. God is your witness, testifying right. But you will not win against those ladies in your house. You will not win. And so, you humble yourself. You humble yourself. And you say, Lord, please show them. So that has been my prayer. I'm still waiting for the Lord to bring revelation. But nevertheless, I couldn't use the scissors. I couldn't use them. And I still couldn't. And so I even bought another pair of scissors. I sacrificed and bought another pair and gave them to them. And guess what they did? They put them in the nice, protective little box, the little container they came in, and they're set nicely on the shelf. And I don't even know if they ever look at them, but they're there, and they're being held for a specific, special use. I have yet to find out what that is. But in the meantime, my original scissor, I am praying for the day when I can use them freely. And so now I have to use them under divine covering. Hallelujah. In ways that only God could imagine and bring forth. And when I am done, I clean them and I put them back in the special little box that they belong in. And as a result, everybody's happy. Why? Because I got to use the scissors and they don't get to know I use the scissors. Hallelujah. And so God is glorified in all these things. And so as they cut chicken and meat with those scissors, they're blessed. As I cut metal and wires, I'm blessed. And so everybody is blessed until today. Hallelujah. But maybe God will use this for those other pair of scissors to come out of the container that it is sitting in. And nonetheless, everybody will be blessed and everyone will be happy. Now, don't try this at home, because there's no guarantee it will come out right for you. In fact, I'm not sure it's going to come out right for me. But I have faith in God. Hallelujah. I have faith in God. Glory to God. And so the container is there so that it can hold something, not just to hold it, but for it to be used. Used according to what it was designed to be, but you want it to be clean when you use it. Even tools that get dirty and they're designed to be in messy, dirty places, you have to clean your tools. You have to wipe them down. You have to keep them dry. Sometimes they get wet. Sometimes they get oil. Sometimes they, whatever it is, you got to clean them and then you put them back. Everything that you want to have longevity or do you want to be able to use over and over again, you have to keep them clean. You keep them orderly in the right place. And that is why God says everyone who names the name of the Lord should abstain from wickedness. God says keep yourself clean from anything and everything that is not of God. Why? So the Spirit of God can be poured into you, so it can be clean, so that you can find yourself in a place where no matter what the situation is, God doesn't have to wash you first and get you ready and fix you up and then use you. He needs to be able to grab you off the shelf and say, let's go, here we go, booyah, go to work. And that is why you prepare ahead of time. God prepares us. He's given you gifts. He's given you talents. He's given you abilities. You have a skill set. You went to school. You have the certificates or degrees, and you have special training. You got a job. The job is the calling of God, and you now have a place to operate in your skills and in your gift set. Verse 20 says, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Hallelujah. Now, I might say that I was using my scissors in an honorable way, but my wife and my daughters might not really see it that way. They might say that was to dishonor. But I can tell you, the Lord was being glorified in their use. And you might live your life in a way you might say, well, I'm not quite walking the way God wants me to walk, or I'm not quite fully obedient, I'm not faithful, and I'm not really all that I need to be. Well, God says, well, you just submit yourself to God. He will use you whatever, wherever you are. You submit yourself to God. God will wash you. He will clean you. He will prepare you. He will mold you. He will shape you. He takes us from a place of dishonor and brings us to a place of honor. Hallelujah. That's what God does. You just need to have your heart right before God. You just need to be submitted before God. In verse 21 says, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Don't you want God to be able to use you? Whatever the situation is on your job or at home or at school or wherever you find yourself, we need to be a vessel of honor, ready for God to use. We want to be the container of the Spirit of God that has been cleaned so that God can pour himself into us. Nobody pours into a dirty cup. Has anybody drank from a dirty cup before? Yeah, you have. I know you have. And it's a pain in the neck. It's annoying, isn't it? Why? Because all of a sudden there's like things floating around in there. Like you see stuff. Sometimes you don't even see it. Like one time I looked and I could see like a film on top. And it was like, ooh, what was in this cup before? And I didn't know. Somebody had milk in the cup, but it dried and it dried in a way. Nobody couldn't tell. It looked kind of clean. I was figuring, who could it be? Somebody in the house. Poured in, and then there's this film. I'm like, ooh. And now you're in a catch-22 because you don't want to waste your drink. You just got to, so what did I do? I'm going to tell you the trick. You get a straw. You put your thumb over the end. Creates a Brockman pressure. Push it down to the bottom. And then you can suck from the bottom where it's clean until the film gets down right before the bottom. Then you can say, and then you throw that little bit away. You see? Hallelujah. You can use that. Feel free to use that anytime you find yourself in that situation. But that's what happens when you drink from a dirty cup. Nobody wants to be dealing with stuff when you're drinking from a dirty cup. So wash it first. rinse it. Don't take any chances. Even when it sits in the cupboard or on the shelf, right? Sometimes dust is like settling. You just never know. So you do a quick rinse. And that's what God wants to do. When you have your devotions in the morning, God has given you a quick rinse. That's why you spend time with God. Otherwise, you're going to go through your day dirty. You got dust. And God forbid there's a film on you from some previous experience that you had the day before, the week before, the months before. And maybe you've gone through and you're just building up residual stuff. And we have to come before God so that he can clean us, so that he can wash us, so that when we find ourselves in situations and circumstances, we're prepared for the master's use. We're prepared for every good work. We're a vessel of honor. We've been sanctified. We've been made clean. We've been made whole. And God now, he can just pour into us. He can just use us for his own glory. In 1 Samuel 16:13, we know this story of Samuel, how he anointed David as king. It says he took the horn of oil and he anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. And so here is the anointing of David as king. He was a teenager and he was anointed king. The Spirit of God was poured over him. And what they would do is they would pour the oil, it was in the ram's horn, and they would fill it up and they would pour the whole thing over people's head. And it would come down over their shoulders and drain all the way down. In our first beginning of the series, I talked about how the oil gets poured over the head and it comes down to the tassels of the priest or the person being anointed. It would come all the way down. They would pour until it came all over them. And people don't do that. We don't like that anymore because people are worried about their clothes getting messed up or their hairstyle, especially ladies like, oh no, my hair. But in those days, nobody cared because they knew it represented the anointing of the Spirit of God. They understood it was the power of God, how it represented that God had sanctified them. He was calling them to a work of the Spirit of God, representing the kingdom of God. And so in verse 39, it says, Zadok the priest, he took the horn of oil from the tent and he anointed Solomon. So here's Solomon being anointed king and the same thing happened, same situation. And this time it even says, they blew the trumpet and all the people said, long live King Solomon. And there was this praise and this worship of God that went up. In fact, it says all the people went up after him and the people were playing on flutes and rejoicing with great joy so that the earth shook at their noise. Now, Adonijah, we talked about this, had declared himself king. And so they were having their own party, but here he is, and he is celebrating the noise of the people of celebrating and rejoicing over what was happening in Solomon's life, outshouted the people of Adonijah. Hallelujah. And I tell you, when God is doing something, it's worth shouting for. It's worth making a noise over. And when you are in an experience where God is doing something in your life, you ought to shout unto God. You ought to praise God. You ought to let everyone know that God has done something in your life. And God creates opportunities for us to be able to do that, for us to be able to share and testify. Now, I'm not saying you should be a crazy person running around going, ah, praise God, praise God, praise God. No, but as situations occur, as opportunities come, God creates opportunities for you to glorify the Lord, to acknowledge God. So the oil, it represents the Spirit of God and its power in your life. And that is why the kings were all anointed. You need the anointing to empower you, to strengthen you. And the anointing represents the Spirit of God. The oil in the scripture represents the Spirit of God. And so it takes someone with the anointing to impart the anointing. If you don't have it, how do you impart it? How do you give it? It's only through those who are operating under the anointing of the Spirit of God that can impart the anointing and the Spirit of God. And you and I, we need to be filled with the Spirit. Isn't that what Paul says? We need to be in that place where God is always being lifted up and exalted. In verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 19 and 20, it says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own. In other words, you have been purchased, right? Verse 20, you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Hallelujah. That is what God is calling us to do. We're called to glorify God. This is why we cleanse ourselves. We renew ourselves. Why? So that God can be glorified, so that God can use us as a vessel of honor. We want to be a vessel that God can use. We want to be clean and ready so that whenever the time comes, God can use us to speak into someone's life, to help them, to operate or do whatever it is that needs to be done in such a way where God is glorified. This is what God is calling us to do. And so the anointing comes before the call or the mission. God anoints you before you actually are placed in position. You know, picture this, you know, as, you know, when you get your job. When you get a job, you have been trained, right? You go to school, right? You usually have an education. They say, well, did you graduate high school? Do you have college? You know, or depending on what the level of the position is, there are certain qualifications. And you have to have met these qualifications in order for them to call you. When you fill out the application, it's a way for them to see what your qualifications are, what your abilities are. And if you don't meet the qualifications, guess what? You don't get the call, right? You don't get the call because you're not what they're looking for. You don't have what they think you should have in order to operate in that position. And so you and I, when we're called of God, God makes sure that we're ready for his use. We're prepared. God wants to use us, but he makes us ready first. That's why we have to go through things. You ever go through difficulties and hardships, challenges? That's your training. That's your training. God trains you. So many people, I see it all the time, they want to be involved in ministry and they want to do things, but they don't want to go through anything. Well, man, forget it. You're done. How are you going to even survive in life? You know, you can't even teach your children if you haven't been through something yourself. How are you, the more effective you are at training up your children is going to be largely tied to what experiences in life you have had and have come through so that you can testify of those things. And you can teach your children to trust in God because you've had to trust in God. But if you've never had to trust in God, then it's kind of hard to teach somebody else how to trust in God because you've never trusted him yourself. So God creates opportunities. He creates situations. In fact, they're automatically there because the world is evil, right? The world is evil. It's on a downward spiral down. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. And God knows that because that's been the plan since Adam and Eve in the garden. In fact, that's what God said in the garden, you know, that the days are going to continually get evil. And so, but God says, I know that, and ultimately I'm going to redeem it when it crashes and burns or slightly before. But he says, I'm going to still be with you through that process. So the world is on its way down, but God is the Savior. He is the liberator, so he lifts us up. So as the world is going down, the people of God are sustained. And God sustains us, and he holds us up, and he covers us. He makes a way for us, and he does all of that. He uses our skills, our gifts, our talents, our abilities, all the things that God has enabled you and given you. We use those things so that God can be glorified. And God says, I will sustain you. I will hold you up. You say, just because it's happening in the world doesn't mean it has to happen to you. Hallelujah. And that's why being a Christian is so awesome. Because the world is going, help, 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 I'm drowning. But you're in the ark of safety, and you're like, gee, man, that's a shame. You should have took those swim lessons when the opportunity came. Right? Because God makes a way. God presents opportunity, and he sustains his people. The world is going to suffer the way the world is suffering. But when I watch the news, I just watch the news. I'm like, yeah, it's a shame. You know, Jesus could really help you in that situation. And there's a lot going on in the world that people could be delivered from if they put their faith in God. In fact, if as a nation we put our faith in God, we wouldn't be going down at the rate that we're going down. We would be being sustained by God, and we would see miraculous divine covering. But it doesn't happen that way because that requires unity. Hallelujah. And so wherever there's unity in God, God can move. That's why you have to have unity in your house. Because when you have unity in your home, then God can sustain your home. And you have to fight for unity. You have to fight for the will of God to be accomplished in your own house. Otherwise, your house will suffer the fate of the world. It will go down under the oppression of the world, because the world is fallen, because Satan is the master of this world. He is the prince of the air, right? The prince and the power of the air. And so the whole idea is that God says, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to bring you out from Satan's dominion and bring you back to where I originally intended you to be, under divine dominion, the hand of God. And so Christ becomes your master. He becomes the one who makes a way for us. And so the call of God, it comes before the mission. In Psalm 23, 5 and 6, I'm sure you remember this, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. And in our midweek, I'm sure you all have seen that video already. You know, I talked about the gnats and the scabs and how they attack the sheep. And the whole idea was some of these little insects would burrow into the nose of the sheep, and it would irritate them, and they would become sick, and some of them would even die from this. And so they would put an olive oil with sulfur and spices, a mix, and they would make this like paste and put it over the head, the whole head of the sheep. And ultimately, it would protect them to keep this from happening. And this is what it means to anoint your head with oil. It's the helmet of salvation. It's the idea that God keeps your mind stable, so that your mind, as you abide in the Word of God, as you meditate on it day and night, the Spirit of God, He covers you, so that when the devil tries to get in your head, these nasty little insects, these pesty words, these things, these thoughts, these ideas try to get in your head, the Spirit of God shields you. He buffers you so that you're not able to be overwhelmed by the things that you're hearing and the things that are taking place around you, because you're seeing through a divine covering. God has given you a different lens. He's protecting you so that those things can't get in your head. And you're stable and anchored in the Word of God. So much so that the Spirit of God begins to overflow in your life. The Spirit of God stirs, and He fills us up with Himself. And the cup of God, it overflows. And that's what happens. God begins to cause you to want to speak. When the Spirit of God overflows in you, you can't keep it to yourself. That's when you want to talk about Jesus. When you see that people don't talk about Jesus, it's because they're not full. They're not full. When you're full, you can't keep quiet. You want to talk about Jesus. You want to share Christ. I remember when I first committed myself to the Lord, and I was in high school, my senior year. I was my first year of college, somewhere in that transition. And I had given my heart to the Lord. I said, okay, God, I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to do what you want me to do. And so I discovered, because I didn't know, that you're supposed to read your Bible every day. Now, I didn't know that. I learned that. Once I learned that, I said, okay, God, I'm going to do it. You know, I learned it, but then I was like, who's that? Read a Bible. I don't want to read anything, you know. And so I began to read the Word of God, and as I began to read the Word of God, I began to get full. I was like, man, I just got to talk to somebody about the Lord. It was just a natural thing. And that's what happens when you fill up on the Word of God. All of a sudden, your mind is being renewed, and the Spirit of God starts to go to work in you. You want to talk about the Lord. I didn't care what it was. I just wanted to say, Jesus, hallelujah. And I just wanted to be able to talk about it. And the world is in the condition it is today because not enough Christians read the Word of God. They do not meditate on it day and night. So therefore, they're not talking about Jesus. If you can go through a day, or you can go through situations on your job or at school, and you don't ever talk to anybody about Jesus, it means you're not full enough. Because once you fill up, it starts to come out. You start to overflow. Oh, man, I tell you, have you ever filled up? You know, I told you the story of the drive-thru, right? You know, you go through, they give you a drink. I'm always checking. Bring that thing to the line. There's a little line that says full. If it don't say full, I'm like, could you fill that? Top that off, and you got to be able to be topped off. You need to be full in the Spirit so that it's ready to overflow. God wants to overflow. It's the overflow that's for other people.
You see, if you don't have enough for yourself, then how can you be a blessing to someone else? But the more you spend time in God, the more you meditate on his word, the more you're in fellowship and you're in an environment where the Spirit of God is working, where people are stirred in the Spirit of God, then you're going to find yourself filling up and you're going to overflow. You're going to want to talk about Jesus. You're going to share. I got so full serving the Lord and seeking God and fill up with God. And I finally, you know, I believe that lie that says, oh, it's just personal between you and the Lord. I actually believe that. And then all of a sudden I got in the word and then I was like, oh, I can't keep it to myself. I was like, I got so full. I went to a party and shared the gospel with all my friends while they were token and carrying on. Hallelujah. I brought a bag of Bibles. I was just sharing, talking around. I was hanging out. We were just sitting there. And I started talking to them about the Lord. And they're like, yeah, sure, shall. Yeah, Jesus, man, he's cool. Yeah, Jesus. So I felt pretty good about that. But then I learned that it really should have gone better, you know. But I had to talk to somebody. And ultimately, they were kind of like, eh. But it did pay off because two of my friends gave their lives to the Lord. Hallelujah. One became a pastor. Hallelujah. So you don't underestimate the filling of the Spirit of God as you abide in the Word of God. It will overflow. It's the overflow that impacts other people's lives. So you have to be full. You got to fill yourself up till you're overflowing, till there's an outpouring, so that the Spirit of God, the reason it's filling up the container is not to sit there collecting dust. It's so it can be poured out. It's got a purpose. There's a reason for it. Don't allow the enemy to bind you and to keep you shut down. Let the Spirit of God arise and overflow into your life. Because if you do, you get verse 6. It says, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Why? That's awesome, because the Spirit of God will always be stirring within you. The Spirit of God will always be with you. You will find yourself with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and gentleness. Man, you'll have so much love in you that no matter what people do, you'll just forgive them. You'll be able to forgive them. And, you know, it's annoying, and it can be painful, and it can be just awful experience. But deep down, there's something about oil. Oil, when it's overflowing in your life, nothing can stick. It just slides off. Just slides off. So when people do things to you, it's just blat. It sticks and goes. It just slides right on down. And people are like hitting you with the oil, you know, just boop, just slides right off. In fact, the Word of God talks about in Ephesians, says the shield of faith. The shield of faith, it quenches the fiery darts. They stick right in there. And then it's like, yeah, but, you pull it off and throw it off. You know, the oil is the same way. The Spirit of God, when you're anointed of God to do what God has called you to do, to be the person you are called to be, when God has filled you up and he is operating in your life, you will be operating under the house of the Lord. In fact, the Word of God says you will be the righteous that runs into the shelter of God and they're safe. Hallelujah. And that is the house of the Lord. You are able to operate under divine covering. So the calling requires preparation, but it also requires a demonstration. There's got to be evidence. The world needs to see Christ in you. The world needs to recognize that there's something going on. You have something that they want. And that's because the Spirit of God is overflowing in your life. So you're shielded, you're buffered, you're covered, and God makes a way for you, even when it seems impossible. Verse 28 of Joel 2 says, it will come about after this that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. This is what happens when the oil of the Lord, the oil represents the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God is coming over you, the Spirit of God, he cleanses us, he buffers us, he renews us, he revives us, he speaks through us. He will fill you up so that you will begin to see things. You'll begin to perceive things. You'll begin to understand things. Now, people always argue against the gifts of the Spirit and the things of the Spirit, but it's always people who don't have it. I've never known anybody who was filled with the Spirit who actually was experiencing all the things that God's Word says. It says, it ain't real.
That doesn't exist. No, it's always the people who don't have it, who have no experience, who have never had this thing. They don't even know. In fact, they're keeping themselves from it, and yet they want to talk as an authority about it. But you cannot talk about something you do not have. But once you have it, then it changes everything. It changes everything. And I tell you that God will make a way. He will enable you to see and perceive and operate in the fullness of the Spirit of God. In Acts 10:38, it says, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him." Number one thing is, first of all, the devil is real. Because otherwise it wouldn't say he went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So that tells you the devil is real and that he oppresses people. And whenever you see oppression, guess what? It doesn't come from God. It doesn't come from God. Oppression is not from God. In fact, the word of God says, "He whom the Spirit sets free is free indeed." Absolutely. So the Spirit brings life. He liberates. He sets free. But the devil, he binds and he oppresses. And so whenever you see people who are causing oppression, when people who are operating in these things, these principles, they rob, they kill, they destroy, they take your peace, your patience, your kindness, your gentleness, when all that is being sucked away, whatever the vessel is that is being used to make that happen is filled with a spirit that is not of God, because people are vessels of the Spirit. And when you understand that people are a vessel of the Spirit and they're either filled with the Spirit of God or they're not, then that helps you understand the warfare that you're in. Because you and I are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in places of authority. And that's what Paul says, and that is what we have to understand. And so as a result, you and I have to do what Jesus did. And that is go about doing good under the anointing of the Holy Spirit so that we can have God's power, or his strength is the word strength for power there, and how we are able to do good. And when you're of God, you will do good and you will bring healing to people. You will be able to liberate people. The things that you'll see things and you'll say things that are going to help people become free, come out from the oppression of the devil. In Isaiah 61:1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners." This is what the role of the Christian is in a society. Your job and my job is to be operating under the anointing, or the fullness of the Spirit of God, having God poured out upon us to the point of overflowing, so that we can bind up the brokenhearted. God brings people who are brokenhearted into our lives all the time. It's our job to help them become liberated. And we help them by bringing the good news or the gospel into their lives. That's why you need to be full of the Scripture. Know the Word of God, so that when people say something, a Scripture will come to mind and you can share it. You will know, what does God say about this? And the Word of God says this. And when you say what the Word of God says, it will liberate people. It will help them. It will enable them. Because a lot of times people don't see the way out. They can't. They don't have hope. They're in darkness. When you're in darkness, you can't see. And so the light is the Word of God. When you speak the Word of God to people, it will cause them to see. And they'll go, what? And then they'll start to ask questions, because it's like putting seasoning on a good piece of meat. Yeah, you ever eat meat with no seasoning? Yuck, right? But if it's seasoned right, all you need is one bite. I see this all the time. I always order food, and mine is always so nice and good. And my wife always says, "Oh, let me have a small piece. Let me have a little piece." So I give her a little piece. And then all of a sudden, she's like, that is good. Then something happens where mine is better than hers. And then she wants me to share even more. But that's how the Word of God is. And when you share the Word of God with somebody, you just give them a little piece. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God says his word won't return void. So when you share the word of God, you may share a little piece. You might say, oh, I'm no theologian. Oh, I don't know a lot. No, you just, it doesn't matter. You know what God has given you to know. Know that, use that. Let the Spirit of God overflow that into your situation. And God will use you to change somebody's life. You will set the captive free. You will bind up the brokenhearted. You will bring liberty to the captives. In verse 21, it says that Jesus said to them in John 20, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he said, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's not enough to just be sent out. You need the same power that Jesus was sent with in your life. And that's what Jesus did. He didn't just send them out. He didn't just say, go therefore. No, he said, by the way, you need some of this. Right? And he breathed the Holy Spirit into their lives. And you and I, God has given us the Holy Spirit. You just have to pray and say, God, fill me. When you get up in the morning, have your devotion. Say, God, wash me, cleanse me. Because you don't want to be bringing yesterday's residuals into today. You don't want to be bringing any of your negative or bad experiences or past or things that the enemy tried to get you stuck in your head. You got to get free from that so that every day you're coming up fresh. That the anointing of God is anew, and that you are, it's a new day, that yesterday is gone. You gotta forgive yesterday. You gotta let it go. And you just gotta live in today and say, God, use me. God, be glorified today. We learn from our past, and that helps us to not make the same mistakes twice, right? So we say, been there, done that. I'm gonna bring glory and honor to God. And that is what God will do. He will overflow you when you receive the Spirit of God. And so the calling of God, it requires a demonstration along with the preparation. And God has called us to use our gifts and our skills and our talents and our abilities. And so even when you go on your job, the reason you got that job is because God ordained it to be so. You've heard me say this over and over again. I used to work for an employment agency, and I tell you, there's a stack of people applying for jobs, you know, this big on your desk, and they pull yours out of the pile. What do you think? You think that was that, oh, wow, you know, that was just random chance? No, God gave you favor, because they could have went through any of those people could have pulled out, and they could have called anybody. There were people that were right next to you that didn't get called, but God gave you favor. And God places people where they need to be. He even places those annoying, irritating people that we've often worked with. You ever know those people? All right, you say, oh God, you know, what am I doing here? You're there to shine the light on them. But if you don't shine the light on them, then you're gonna get irritated. they're gonna overwhelm you because of all the na 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 na. But once you are operating in the fullness of the Spirit of God, their irritations will go blip, slide right off. And it won't even affect you, and you'll speak life into them, and you'll chisel down that irritation, and they'll become a little less irritating. And the more you work with them, the more the Spirit of God is going to go boom, and the Spirit of God is going to be going boom, and he's going to say boom, 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 boom. And the next thing you know, they're going to be like, oh, I don't know what's wrong with me. Will you pray with me? That's what happens. That's what God will do, but you got to be able to stand. You can't say, oh, these people, oh, they're like, oh, my God, oh, what am I doing? Oh, this is terrible. You know, no, you got to get in the fight, because you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So let God use you. Say, yeah, Lord, come on, bring it on. Put me in there. Give me a good opponent this time. I'm tired of these weak people. Come on, I need a good one. Believe me, God will give you a good one. Hallelujah. He won't give you more you can bear, though. The word of God's clear. It's clear about that. And so just let the Spirit of God rise up in you so that it overflows to meet your situation. And I guarantee you that when the Spirit of God rises up, the horn or the cry of battle cry will sound. Right? And that's the same cry as the victory cry. Because when God goes to battle, he always wins. But when he goes into the battle for you, you will win. You will come out victorious. All you need to do is name the name of the Lord. Declare the Lord. Call upon God, and he will deliver you. He will set you free. That's Romans, right? And so Romans 8:9 says, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And that is when you have to come to a place of understanding that when you're dealing with people that don't have the Spirit of Christ, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, right? They've been redeemed, bought by the blood of the Lamb. They've been saved, delivered, set free, yada, yada. You know the whole gospel message. Anybody who has not received the gospel is operating under a different influence, a different spirit, because they're containers. They're containers. And Satan is looking for a host. He is looking for a host. He is looking for someone to use. And that is why you and I are in battles. That's why we deal with warfare. Because Satan can hop into people and start using them to come against you. But the Spirit of God overflows from us, and then they don't have to fight us. If you're not full, you'll have to fight yourself. If you're not full, you fight for yourself. And you won't even, it's not that you'll want to fight. You'll be trying to find a way out. But you're going to find yourself fighting because it's going to be a natural response. But when you're full, the Holy Spirit will cause you to pause. Remember Neo in the Matrix? He went, doop. That's what happens when you're full with the Spirit. You can stop it. You can shut it down. You say, you know what? No, you're not coming at me. You can put the oil of anointing over your head. And when it comes over your head, those little gnats and all those little annoying pests, they won't get into your head. And the reason people start thinking and going off crazy is because they're not full. They don't have enough in them. They are not prepared for the situation that they're in. They're not ready. They're not communing with God. They're not walking with God. They're not filling up in the Spirit of God. And that is why you and I need to prepare ourselves. In fact, Jesus said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release or liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And so here he is quoting Isaiah, right? And here he is saying the very same thing. You and I can also say this. God has anointed you in the year 2022 to bring the gospel, to preach the gospel to the poor. Who are the poor? Not just people without money, but to people who are poor in spirit, right? Who don't have, they're empty. Their containers are low. They have a low, they don't have in them what they need in order to overcome against Satan and the battle that people are in. And our job is to proclaim liberty. We're here to send release to the captives. We're here to bring sight to the blind. We're here to help those who are oppressed. We're here to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what we do. That's who we are. When you go to work, that's your mission. That's the call of God in your life. That's what the oil will do. He will enable you in all these things, and he will stir up. And when you don't have enough of the Word of God in you, when you don't have enough time with the Lord in prayer, you don't fellowship with good, godly people, you know, because whatever you're full of, that's what's going to come out of you. Whatever you're full of, that's what's going to come out. And so make sure you're filled with the right spirit. You're filled with the things of God, with the presence of God. It's the oil that represents the Spirit and God's power. Do you find yourself powerless? That means you got to fill up. You don't have enough. You need to be operating under the anointing so that you can impart it to other people. It's that overflow, because you got to stay full, because you can't let your levels drop. You got to stay full. You got to stay clean, stay pure. You got to keep ready so God can use you. And all God has to do is bump you. Hallelujah. Have you ever bumped a full cup? You know, when something is full, right? You bump into it. It doesn't take much, but what happens? Spills out, man. It doesn't take much. It spills out. And that's what God says. You stay full. Don't worry. Just the natural experiences in life are going to cause bumps. And every time you get bumped, the Spirit of God is going to come out of you. You're going to share a word. You're going to say something that's going to help somebody. It's going to be a blessing to somebody. It's going to help them draw closer to God. It's going to help them to see and perceive things that they otherwise wouldn't have seen. If you really care, then look, you're like, look, I'm not the kind of person. I'm not going to go up and talk to people. I'm not going to do. God says, don't worry, they'll bump into you. Don't worry, they will bump into you. God will cause bumps to happen. And when they do, you be ready to be used. You just be ready to splash on people. Let them splash out. Because if you can splash a little oil on them, then that'll be something that can slide off of them. And they can get free from things that otherwise would stick, and they would suffer, and they'd be wrestling with things. But because the oil that came off of you just got on them, all you did was say one thing. You don't have to be try to explain all the meaning of life. All you're doing, look, this is what God can do. This is what God did for me. Or just whatever. Now, believe me, God knows you, and whatever you say, however you say it, it's going to have oil on it. Just let it come out. Hallelujah. It's just going to be oil. It's just going to be a splash. So don't try to figure it out. Don't try to understand it, because there's nothing to figure out and understand. It's God is using you, and he made you the way you are. So just be you. Hallelujah. Man, that's why this is so great. You don't have to be anybody else. Be yourself, and God will use you. And the anointing will come before the calling. God, he anoints you and make you ready, because the anointing is the oil. And if you don't have the oil first, you're going to go into battle and everything's going to stick. You're going to be going, thoop, 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 thoop. So you need the oil so stuff don't stick. So that's why you spend time with God, commune with God, and then you will be prepared. You will be made ready. And then the demonstrations can come. Hallelujah. You ever see a demonstration, all these infomercials, they do these demonstrations, then you get it at home and you're like, well, how come it's not working for me? Yeah, well, because, they practiced in such a way when they knew what to use and how to do it in such a way to make it look like it was easy. But when you get it, it's not so easy, because you don't know how to do what they did. And there was a little trick to it. Well, God, he will prepare you ahead of time so that you will know the nuances, so that when Satan tries to fire at you, you'll be able to go, not today. Not today. Booyah. You'll catch him at every turn. And so in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 2, he says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. So we will experience weakness, fear, and trembling. That's a part of our lives. It says, but, he says, my message and my preaching was not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Spirit is capitalized. Whenever you see that, that's Holy Spirit. That means the Spirit of God. There's a demonstration of the Spirit of God in your life, and it is powerful. It is powerful to bring down the strongholds of the enemy. You can set captives free. You can liberate people. You can help people see things that they otherwise wouldn't see. You'll say something. It'll trigger something that will help people. It'll be a blessing to them. So let God use you. Let the overflow come. It's important because of verse 5. It says, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And that's why you don't have to be a theologian. People are all caught up. Well, I'm so sophisticated. I've studied Hebrew and Greek, and I know all that the scripture says. I'm telling you what the word of God says. No. Just be you. Whoever, you're you. God will give you what to say. You don't have to be the guy on the radio. You don't have to be the guy on TV. You don't have to be something. No, you're you. Just be you. Let the Spirit of God use you. The devil won't even see you coming. All of a sudden, you'll be coming. You'll be like, poof. And that devil like, oh, man, where'd you get a punch like that? And that's because the Spirit of God will be behind what you're saying. It'll be oil-filled. The oil will be on you. The anointing of God. And it is powerful. It is mighty in God. And that is what God wants to use you to accomplish. In fact, Psalm 148:14 says, he has lifted up a horn for his people, praise for all his godly ones. Even the sons of Israel, a people near to him, praise the Lord. Saints of God, I can tell you right now that there is a horn for you. There's a horn for you. God is raising up a horn for his people, and you can be delivered. You can be set free. You can be a tool that God will use, a container of the Spirit of God, full, so that when the situations of life come your way, you will spill out and you will cause people to experience God in a powerful and awesome way. Verse 20 of 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work.
That's what God is doing in your life, saints of God. Don't allow the enemy to discourage you. Don't let the ideas of darkness get into your head, making you feel like you're less of a person, or you can't do it, or that it's too much, or you're overwhelmed, or you got this and you got that. No, no, no. Don't believe it. Don't buy into it. Let the oil of God guard your mind. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If you look to God, he is your source of strength. I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. No matter what your situation is, God has a verse. He's got something to say about it. Learn the word of God. Study it so that you can resist the devil, and you will guard your mind with the helmet of salvation, that you, the work of Christ, can be manifested in your life, that you will be able to see, no matter what comes your way, that you'll be in the right container. You'll be being preserved. You'll be fresh. And it doesn't matter what the situation is or the circumstances are. You'll be the right thing for the right moment, for the right situation, because God will have made you the way you need to be to deal with whatever it is. And you'll have the right stuff in you because God will have prepared you. And he will ship you off. He will package you up. He will put you with other people who will encourage you, who will be there for you, who will support you, who will help you. And those people will gather together and be around you. And he will use you in powerful ways. He will send you where you need to go. You will get there. You will be where God wants you to be. And in the end, you will hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." You're on a journey today, saints of God. God is doing something in your life. You're not alone. You're not someone who is just randomly going through life, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Allow the anointing of God to arise in the midst of your life. Oh, the horn is for anointing. Let God pour his Spirit into your life. Be filled to overflowing. Allow it to run down in every aspect of your life, because you are a vessel of the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Come on.
You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. I want to be tried.
God, don't underestimate what God is doing in your life. You are a man or woman of God. You are able to be quickened in the Spirit of God. Just fill up. Just fill up. Take the app and just meditate on the Word of God. Just let it read to you. You don't even have to read it. Let it read to you. Do you know that the Word of God was originally communicated orally? People didn't read it for themselves. It was read to them. And that's why the Word of God says faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So get the app and let it read to you. And let it speak to you and just meditate on it. And read it. You're not a reader? If you're a reader, great. Read it for yourself. If you're not a reader, then let it read to you. Let the Spirit of God minister to you. And you will keep your head straight. It will keep your mind focused. He will shield you. He will guard you. He'll keep you full. So that when situations come up and they bump into you, you will spill out with the right spirit, with the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, the strength of God, the power of God. Let God use you this week. Try it. I guarantee you it will change your life. Put what I'm saying to the test. I guarantee you, you will not be disappointed. Trust in the Lord. Trust in God. God will make a way for you. He can turn whatever your situation is around. He can change how you feel. He can change how you think. He can show you things that you otherwise wouldn't see, and it will change every aspect of your life. Trust God today and allow him to use you as a vessel of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Lord, I thank you for your word. God, let your people be filled. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Lord, refresh us, revive us, wash us, cleanse us, make us new. Use us, Lord, even for those things that seem like they're unusual things for us to be used for. God, use us. Glorify yourself in the midst of our lives. Let your name be praised. Let your word come alive. Be glorified in our lives as we proclaim and magnify the Lord. We thank you, O God, for all these things. Use us in this upcoming week. and enable your name to be praised by the glory of God as the people of God say yea and amen and abide in the word of the Lord, that you would be lifted up and exalted. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah.
I want to be dry.